making the world a better place one show at a time. The Talk of Our Times, Chicago's finest internet radio show. Great guests, great callers, great conversation. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, thank you. Thank you, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. As you probably know, we had about three days off. I did some writing and put some more equipment together, which we're still working on it and still trying to figure out where it can be useful in this project. But anyway, hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you're listening. I hope you're podcasting and and enjoying yourself at all those times. Beautiful in Chicago. I think it's around about 75, 78 degrees, sunny, bright. It's beautiful. As I've been saying before, it's one of the greatest summers I think I've ever had. And I just have totally enjoyed the summer. If it goes, once the summer is over, I'm going to be so appreciative of it. I mean, we have had a great time. This has been one of the greatest summers I think I've had in a long time. One of the greatest summers in Chicago, that is, we've had in a long time. You know, I mean, I'm not the only one saying that, but that's why I feel about it. And it's great today. And I hope it's great and wonderful where you are. We got to think about those people in Louisiana. I think the floods, the water in those towns are receding. That means it's going down and going out. It's people are trying to get their lives back together. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of our prayers came to fruition, came true. And a lot of people are doing a lot better. Remember, some of them have lost everything. And we still got to help them and do what we can for those people in Louisiana and around America where people are hurting. We have to help. I just came from a food pantry volunteering. And, it's just awesome the way people are just helping other people to trying to better their lives. Feeding people is one of the greatest things that you can do in your life. It's a great feeling. It's a wonderful thing to do, to knowing that you're helping someone who truly needs it. There's a lot of people out here asking for help and they don't actually need it, or they're not that actually bad off. They're just asking for help because they just figure you're going to give, so they're going to take it. But you get some people out here who are not that selfish, people who are hungry, children who are hungry, children who are being fed by those who are being fed by those with warm hearts, you know. And that's a great feeling. And the kids are saying, hey, wow, this is good. This is great. This macaroni and cheese is great. You know, it's good. It's wonderful. It's a great feeling when you're doing something like that, when you're helping people. It's just awesome. So, you know, if you can, if you have the time, get out there and help somebody in some sort of a way. You don't always have to need money. You don't have to give money all the time. You don't have to donate. But you do have some of your time and some effort in putting things together, ideas together, and going out there and helping someone in need. That's the greatest feeling in the world. I'll say this again. I don't think people are put on this earth not to help someone. If someone has helped you out in some way, then you return that favor and you help someone else out. You know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. And I still want to say, I applaud all of those folks out here who are helping other people just because they have kind hearts and they have the means to do so. I applaud a lot of these people out here who are trying to help our young people to steer them in the right direction, giving them things to do, try to get them off the street corners and into better lives, trying to, you know, encourage them to put down the guns and stop the crime. I envy those kinds of people because that's what I'm all about. That's what this show is all about, making the world a better place. That's what it's all about, and that's what it always will be about, because each and every day there's something that's going wrong and we have to try to figure out how to stop it, how to get our public officials, police superintendents, our politicians, mayor, governor, and aldermen, and just great people all around, grassroots people, middle-class people, you know, poor people. We got to get all these people together to get out and do something in the community to help. And that's what it's all about. You get a good feeling. It doesn't matter what kind of job you got. It doesn't matter how much you're getting paid. I mean, if you're getting paid $8.25 an hour, or if you're getting paid $30 an hour, you know, get and do something for people who have nothing. Get out here and do something who are deserving of having something. Feel good about it and they'll feel good about it, and who knows, you may get something along the way in order to help build you. So it's all about making the world a better place. Humble people and great people, feeding other people, helping other people, it's great. It's just wonderful. And every time I go down and volunteer at the food pantry, you know, I see some of the most gratefulest people in the world, who are so grateful to get that package of dough, to get that box of macaroni and cheese, or to get that can of corn or whatever, or get that frozen whole chicken and, you know, and just filling up their bags and stuff and like that, and feeling so, and you feel about it because you are a part of that. You were all those people smile. You saw those people say, hey, wow, I'm going to eat today. I'm going to eat for a whole week. I'm going to eat for the whole month right now because of you. It feels great. So I want to say, you know, do something for your community. Do something for the people of your community. Do something for America. That's great. That's wonderful. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be happy. You just need to give up your time, your effort, your great ideas on how to make the lives of some people, not all, because, you know, We just try to do as much as we can with what we can and how we can. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live. Yeah, I'm live. Right. Okay. From the city of Chicago. It's sunny. It's bright. I just got through talking about the weather. We're by the lake here. And it is beautiful, folks. It is great. I just got to told you we were out earlier volunteering, and that's a great thing. We do it every now and then because it is a good feeling, volunteering to feed people, volunteering to give out what information that we can to help people secure housing, secure food, secure, you know, good friends, you know, because they are good. Having good friends are important too. You know, having good friends are totally important. So, you know what? When you're helping someone, you may just help. Hello. You don't realize that single word can really make someone's day. You can help someone by just smiling. That single gesture can help someone's life a little brighter. You don't always have to reach down in your pocket and pull out money. If you don't have it, there's other ways that you can impact someone else's life. I should know because I've experienced some of those things. So it's a wonderful feeling. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we are on the air, and we've been off for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because this is a show that's on the internet. I am your host. We are doing this show for 4 days a week, Monday through Friday. We're going to expand it at some point in time. I will let you know. We're going to expand it to, instead of just doing 4 days, we're going to do five a whole week, and we'll let you know when that is done. But right now, 4 days is a monster, right? It is something else as I speak. But it's rough. It's beautiful, and it's fun, and I love doing the show. And it's costly, believe me. Nothing's free. Nothing is free. I try to tell my son that nothing is free. I mean, the air you breathe when you're walking down the street from school, you're paying for it. The streets that you walk on, every step you take on the concrete, you're paying for it. Nothing is free. You know, a lot of teenagers, they think that because a lot of them are self-centered, and they think that they, you know, should their privilege, and you should do everything for them and but they have to realize that things cost, food cost, paying your rent or paying your mortgage, that's costly. Clothes, school supplies, you name it. Games, entertainment, night out, all of this is costly. I try to tell them nothing is free. Nothing whatsoever is free. Everything has got to be paid for. If you pay for it, then you won't have it. You will not have it. Okay, you can follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter. Amazon.com. I got some great stories up there. I got another review on one of my stories, and it was a pretty good review. And I love it when people tell me that they've read my stuff and they like it. I love when people tell me that they've read my works and they feel that it needs more work. But you know what? It's awesome. It's an awesome feeling to know when someone purchased your work or gives you a good review, gives you a bad review, a mediocre review. Just, I mean, it's all to be expected, if I can say the word. It's all to be expected, and it's fun, it's great, it's beautiful. And I want to thank everybody who's given me a positive review. I want to thank everybody who's given me a negative review. I'm thanking everybody who's given me constructive criticism. And I think anyone with any type of a talent or craft wants constructive criticism, because if you get constructive criticism, you can always take that constructive criticism and make whatever you a lot better. You know, so when someone criticizes something that I do, something that I write, you know, I'm going to take another look at what I've written. Sometimes they criticize it and they're straight on the money. They're right on the money. Then some of the criticism is totally unfair, you know, but you have to balance that out in certain ways. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. I've just got on the air. It's been great. I've been doing some writing and, you know, just out and about and having fun. And I couldn't wait to get back on the air. It's just so fun. It's just so much fun. And it's just what I do. Even, you know, after some of the negative things and all that kind of stuff. It happens. It comes with the territory. All right, let's go. Okay, I was going to say let's go to the phones, but we're going to do this first. Okay, Donald Trump ditching everyone but Fox. I mean, Donald Trump is in the news. And I have to say, since this is a political show and a commentary, I have to say a little few things about Donald Trump. I would never vote for Donald Trump. I mean, if you look at Donald Trump's crowds when he's doing his rallies, there is not an African-American in sight, you know. And now he's saying that African-Americans should vote for him because we have no education. We don't have nothing. Donald Trump, I wrote this. Donald Trump puts his foot in his mouth. He's got foot and mouth disease. He says these things. He actually, when he says things like African Americans have no education, no jobs, they have no anything, he actually thinks saying stuff like that, saying idiotic stuff like that, is going to get African Americans to vote for him. It's not. They're going to alienate him even more. Saying that African Americans have no education. Donald Trump is the one who has no education. He talks at a third grade, fifth grade level. Now, at his rallies, he's using a teleprompter. Because he knows if he doesn't use a teleprompter, he's going to say something ridiculous. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's going to say things ridiculous with or without a teleprompter. But using a teleprompter, his handlers, if he reads from a teleprompter, it will keep him on message. He will not insult people. He will not say dumb things. But that has been proven to be wrong. Donald Trump has to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump cannot be anyone else but Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tries to be anyone else, he will lose a lot of support because his supporters want him to be Donald Trump. His supporters want him to deport all illegal Mexicans. His supporters want him to build a wall. His supporters want him to deport. Get rid of all Muslims. And that's the core of his support. Basically, his supporters are full of racists and haters. So if he tries to go against that mold, those issues that he's stands for, he will lose a lot of support. Right now, he's talking about, they're saying that he's flip-flopping on illegal aliens, Spanish people, Mexican people who are here illegally. And he says he's not doing that. He better not do that. Because if he does it, like I just got through saying, he's going to lose support because his supporters want him to build a wall. They want him to deport every goddamn illegal Mexican there is. They want him to build a wall. They want him to make America great again. You know, so he has to. Which I don't agree. I think America always has been great. If we elect Donald Trump, it will cease to be great. That's how I see it. But it says here, I'm looking at Huffington Post, and it says here that Donald Trump ditching every media outlet out here for Fox News. Oh, that's no news, actually, because every other media outlet out here has been saying things about him that he doesn't like. Majority of the things that the media outlets say about him are true. They're true. They're using his own words against him. You know, they're using everything against him. They're throwing the pot at him, but they're not lying on him. It's all true. And he's pissed off about that. So he's going to So he's going to go, when he does an interview, he's going to go, he's not going to go to ABC, he's not going to NBC or MSNBC or some of these other news outlets. He's not going to be calling into anyone's talk show or anything like that. He feels that they doesn't treat him fairly. They talk about him, they lambast him. He's going to just hang out on Fox News with Sean Hannity. You know, so, I mean, Donald can do that. Now he can do what he wants to do. But yet everybody keeps saying that he should show his taxes. Donald Trump will not show his taxes. He's not going to do that. He doesn't care who says it. He is not going to show his taxes. He just does not give a damn about people asking about his taxes. I, like so many others, are saying this man has something to hide. He totally. He may not be as rich as he is. He may have not paid any taxes. He may be hiding ties with the Russians. There is something there, and he doesn't give a damn. He's not going to show his taxes. Every president down the line, majority of them, have shown their taxes. Not Donald Trump. Remember when Donald Trump was begging and asking and just trolling to see Barack Obama's birth certificate? I mean, he was trolling that all over the place. He wanted to see Barack Obama's papers, and eventually Barack Obama presented them. But Trump will not show anybody his papers. I mean, that's, you know, that's another standard. Trump will not show anybody his papers, and he doesn't give a damn. Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump. He is about himself. And if Donald Trump wins it, I got a feeling he's going to have Sarah Palin in his cabinet. She's a dunce. Michelle Bachmann's going to be in his cabinet. She's a dunce. He's going to have his wife, his sons. You know, all these people are going to be in his cabinet. And I was hearing earlier that he's going to do his show, The Apprentice, from the Oval Office if he gets elected. This guy is just, you know, I don't know. I don't really like giving him exposure and publicity on my show, but he just says some of the most outrageous things, and he seemed to get away with it. But anyway, Hillary is leading him, and hopefully she'll knock him out of the race. But he's also saying that if he loses, he will never forgive the voters. This guy is crazy. He's crazy. They are excruciating. He's excruciating. He really is. And they are excoriating him on social media. They really are. Wow. The authoritative guide to what WTF is going on with the Trump. I didn't want to, those initials, I didn't want to say the words. So basically saying what the hell is going on with the Trump campaign. Trump. Speedo and Ralph Lauren dump Ryan Lochte over real lies. This guy lied. He lied. They all should dump him. This is a gold medal winner, a swimmer, Brian Lochte. Wow. And his sponsors, they're dumping him. They're hitting him in the pocket. That's going to hurt. But he lied about being robbed. He lied about somebody putting a gun to his head in Rio. And I don't blame those people in Rio. I think they have a valid. I think they're right in what they're saying about Brian Lochte. Get, you know, because that's making Rio look bad. They don't want their country dragged through the mud for something that never happened, that this guy, this American swimmer, lied about. He's done. They're calling him a disgraced athlete. And I think that's very, very true. He is totally disgraced. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, which we're still trying to get ourselves situated here, folks. I've picked up some new equipment and we're wondering if it's going to work. And we're still working on it. And it's just, I'm so happy to be back here on my show. And we're going to have wonderful guests throughout the month. And we're going to have wonderful guests for September. They're already booked. So, you know, you guys stay tuned for that. Stay in tune for that. We will be right back.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Warner Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
The Olympics are over. I'm kind of sad a little bit because we watched the Olympics. I mean, I'm just crazy about the Olympics. I think the best I think the best part of the Olympics that I actually like is probably the gymnastics, the volleyball, the men's basketball, and track and field. And I'm going to miss that. We're going to miss that. So we're going to tape that. Actually, we've already taped it. So you know, so we'll do the 2016 Olympics will always be around the studio here. So it was great. The closing ceremonies were just as great as the opening ceremonies of the 2016 video. It was a spectacle, a beautiful spectacle, a wonderful spectacle, If I can say, I can't even say spectacle. Okay, but it's over. It's over, and 2020 is that when the next? Okay, 2020. Wow, 4 years from now, and I'm hearing it's in Tokyo. I'm not sure of that. We're gonna have to find that out. But it's over, and Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast in the world, led the closing of the Olympics, 2016 Olympics. She is it. She is the greatest gymnast in the world, as far as I'm concerned. 4 gold medals, 1 bronze. Okay, and they're over. But she's we've got her on tape. We got all the whole Olympics, the whole all of it on tape, so we can watch it anytime we want to, even though it's gone right now. So I want to take my hat off to all of those Olympians, all of those athletes. They were great. They was wonderful, except for Brian Lochte. This guy lied about being robbed, or, you know, I just got through saying a gun to his head. And when he and his 3 Padres were the culprits, they're the ones who trashed a bathroom at a service station. It's all on video. It's all on tape. So if you don't know about that, you can go check that out. In other words, he didn't tarnish the Olympics for the Americans. He tarnished the Olympics for himself, because his sponsors are pulling away from him. So this is hitting this guy in the pocketbook where it hurts. You know, he went from a hero to a zero in a matter of minutes because he blatantly lied about what was going on. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on Blog Talk Radio, making the world a better place one show at a time. Folks, that's what it's all about. That's the only thing it can be about. And we're going to keep trying to do that. Okay, let's move on to something else. Chicago police. Okay, one of the things, this is Monday. The weekend just passed in Chicago. More people were shot, obviously. A 12-year-old girl was shot in the arm. You know, I mean, in the last few months, I think this is the 22nd person under 13 that has been shot in the city of Chicago. Okay, she was shot, but she's going to survive. That's a good thing. But being shot in the first place is just terrible. Okay, Chicago police, they've taken several firearms off the street. There's been enormous amount of gang raiding by the police. They've raided the gangs, taken some of the gangs off the street. 101 people, gangs, drugs and weapons. They've taken some of these people off the street, and the superintendent was on the television the other day after this was done, saying that Chicagoans were a little safer now because a lot of those gang bangers, those thugs, those murderers and killers were off the streets, and drugs and guns were confiscated. But let me tell you this, Mr. Superintendent. The killing feels is still going on in the city of Chicago. People are still being shot down. You may have taken some of the gangbangers off the street. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Carnage goes on. People are still being gunned down. People are still being shot. People are still being robbed and hit in the head. A 12-year-old girl has been shot. A police officer's son was shot. You know, I'm thinking, I'm reading that there were 20 people shot over the weekend. I believe three fatally. So Chicago still has, and I'm pretty sure some more countries around the country still have work to do when it comes to lowering crime. But I have to take my hat off to the superintendent for getting a lot of those gangbangers off the street. Getting them off the damn streets, you know, and hopefully the judicial system will keep their asses locked up a lot longer. Stop letting them go too soon. Because when you let these guys go too soon, they're back out on the street doing the same damn thing that put them in jail in the first place. So keep them locked up, but still in awe. We still have criminals out here. Some of these criminals are on the loose. They do that. I mean, there are so many that are on the loose. The guy who shot this girl, this 12-year-old girl, I'm thinking, he's still out there. You know, I hate listening to the news and reading the newspaper and find out that some guy who shot and killed someone just for the hell of it is still out there on the loose, because when these guys are not caught, they are out there to do it again. They do not care. They are criminals. They're thugs. They're dirt bags, and they like it, and they do not care. They will do this again. So we got to get these people, these kind of people off the streets. We've got to get off the streets. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are really, really doing it. I don't have any guests today. My guest, she called off and she wants to reschedule. And I'm thinking about it. You know, I'm thinking about it. And she wants to reschedule at times. And, you know, so where that goes. But anyway, there's no guest on the show today, 347-857-1762. But I can't speak for tomorrow, okay, and the next day, and the next day, and next month, actually. But it happens. Guests call off, they reschedule. I mean, some of them don't forget to put this show down on the calendar, and it happens. Things come up. It happens. Just like my show, for instance. You know, sometimes the computer goes down when a guest is on the show. And it makes me feel so good when a guest says, well, George, we understand things happen. Computers do go down. They do freeze up on you. They do crack up on you. And that is such a great thing for me to hear from a guest, because there's a lot of times when the weather is bad, you know, the computer might act up. When the weather is, you know, 90 or 102 degrees, the computer will act up. And especially when I'm doing an interview or having a conversation with a guest, always at the bad time, right? Always at the bad time. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I've been out for so long I can barely talk, but we're going to get it together. We are going to get it together. Okay, we're going to do a drum roll. Can we do a drum roll? All right. What about a doorbell? Can we do a doorbell? Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. All right. We're going to do this and we will be right back.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All righty. That was Brian Gumbel, former host of the Today Show. Here is Ron Reagan. Ronald Reagan's son, President Ronald Reagan's son, but this is Ron Reagan, and he is slamming Trump.
Author, radio host, and MSNBC political analyst. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Let me play you something that Republican vice presidential candidate said about Republican criticisms of Trump when it comes to foreign policy. Take a listen.
You know, I'm old enough to remember a president that you covered a few years back who, when he was running for president in 1979 and 80, they were saying about the same thing.
But I mean, there was never that kind of mass defection.
I think there was just as much criticism of Ronald Reagan's broad-shouldered approach to foreign policy.
So what do you make, Ron, of Mike Pence's comparison there?
Well, one thing he left out, I suppose, is that my father wasn't pathological. My father would have been humiliated, embarrassed by what has happened to his party, the Republican Party, and would be humiliated, embarrassed that they have nominated somebody like Donald Trump to be president of the United States. We can talk about his foreign policy address coming up. We can talk about anything you want to about the Trump campaign. But the fact of the matter is that Trump should not be in this race. He's an absurdity. He is a travesty. And that is the reality here. I know it's difficult for journalists, television journalists, and even print journalists to deal with this. We're used to covering presidential races where we grant credibility to both sides. But that is not the case this time. We have a candidate on one side, Hillary Clinton, who, whatever you may think of her, whatever you may think of her policy prescriptions, is a credible candidate. Donald Trump is not. I had the dubious pleasure of reading the transcript of his speech today. It's full of the usual empty jargon. This is a man who knows nothing about the world and cannot be president of the United States. That amounts to a national emergency.
part, well, when you talk about an emergency, there's a lot of Republicans who think they have one within the party. And I want to read to you some of the polls that are just out on millennial voting from USA Today and Rock the Vote. Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump by 36 points among those under 35. Trump's 20%, the worst showing since they started taking this poll, even worse than Richard Nixon's 36% in 1972. That was the previous low. If this pattern holds, it would be the third election in a row where Democrats win the youth vote, not just win it, but win it by double digits. And I wonder about this editorial in the Wall Street Journal, which was, I think, pretty shocking in just how strong it is. What do you expect to see? You've been around politics your whole life. Do you think that you're going to see a lot more Republicans, particularly running for those down ballot races who just separate themselves completely from Donald Trump?
Yes, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. We've already heard reports that the RNC is planning to pull funding from the Trump campaign and funnel it instead towards the Senate races and congressional races. And I would look for that to happen. Yes. I mean, again, this is an untenable candidate. The tragedy here for the Republican Party and for, I guess you could say, the political system as a whole, we have a two-party system in our country. You could argue that maybe we should have a multi-party system, and maybe that's what will happen in the end now. But the two-party system, as we've known it for a long, long time now, is effectively dead. The Republican Party does not exist, will not exist going forward as it has in decades past. The problem is not Donald Trump. He's just a symptom. The problem for the Republican Party is the Trump voter. The Trump voter, which is nearly half the party, they're not going to go for Paul Ryan or somebody like that next time. They're going to want another Donald Trump. So the Republican Party, as I said, has virtually ceased to exist.
Ron Reagan, always good to see you. Thanks so much.
Nice to be with you, Chris. Thanks.
Wow, that was Reagan's son, Ron Reagan. And he's been echoing a lot of the thoughts about Donald Trump, as I have, as other people have. Donald Trump is fit to be president of the United States. And there is no other way about it. He doesn't know anything about anything. You know, and listen to anybody. Donald Trump has to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump can soften. He can revamp his failing campaign. It ain't gonna work. People, I mean, and the Republicans are always trying to, every minute of the day, they're trying to, the Republicans are trying to prosecute Hillary for her emails. And the thing is, the American people, they don't give a damn about her emails. They just don't want Donald Trump in the White House, period. And the Republicans, they are really, really, they don't understand this. Why the American public do not really care about Hillary's emails. I'm like Bernie Sanders. Enough with the damn emails. Give me a break. You know, we got to stop Donald Trump from getting into the White House, because there's always that possibility. I mean, we got about 80 something days to go, but there's always that possibility that this guy could be president, even with his low poll numbers. So it's a possibility, because something, I mean, anything could happen, you know? So we have to worry about not Hillary's emails. We have to do our best to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, because like Ron Reagan said, it will be a travesty. He's an absurdity. He should not be where he is. This guy, Donald Trump, is talking about having his apprentice television show taped from the White House. This is an abomination. This is some news I got off the computer. And if this is true, it's an abomination. He's going to bring the White House down to to his level, you know. And there's already people talking about right now leaving the country. If Donald Trump becomes president, they're going to leave the country. I don't blame them. They're going to Canada. Canada is going to see an influx of Americans if Donald Trump becomes president And it's always possible. I mean, Hillary Clinton should not take for granted her rising poll numbers over Donald Trump. She should do everything she possibly can to keep those numbers up and for those numbers to grow. You know, but I would not. I think she's smart enough not to do that. But the emails, I mean, I'm so sick of the emails. But the Republicans are going to keep the email issue out there because they're trying to destroy Hillary. And it's not working because the American public don't give a damn about those emails. They're sick of hearing about the emails. They are trying to, they want to and trying to keep Donald Trump from the Oval Office because he is totally unfit. And Donald Trump knows he's unfit. So many people are saying, well, Donald Trump's going to drop out of the race. He's not going to drop out of the race. This man is going to go all the way. And once he loses, if he loses, he's going to blame everything and everybody. He's going to come out strong. I think I read somewhere he said if he loses the race, he's going to take a long vacation. And if he loses the race, he's going to blame the voters. These are things he's saying at his rallies, folks. And, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see that, you know. Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, making the world a better place, one show at a time. Any thoughts to talk about times, great guests, great callers, great conversation. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air, and we've been talking about Donald Trump. I want to say something about I don't have the article in front of me, so I'm going to try to do my best and just talk about this without the article in front of me. Okay. I think a day or so ago, a federal judge, Texas, struck down the transgender bathroom law of Obama, President Obama. Remember a while ago, Obama sent all the school districts in America a letter, a documentation saying that they should allow transgender people into bathrooms of their choice. You know, and I've stated on this show that I was not in the agreement of that. And I'm glad that this judge in Texas struck it down. It will not happen. I don't know where Obama got off at this. I mean, he's such a gay president. He's not gay per se, but he's on the side of the gay people. He's pushing the gay people. He is the one who brought gay marriage here and love. You should love the person you love and all that kind of thing. And now he wants transgender people to be able to go in the bathrooms of their choices. And the judge said, hey, it's gonna happen. So they struck that down. You might have heard that. And all it means is that someone who's some young man, a boy or a man, can say, hey, wow, I'm gay, I feel like a woman. So I want to go into the women's bathroom or the girls' bathrooms, even though he still has his penis, but he feels like a woman. So he, you know, he wants to. And I said, what the hell? I can see if he had a sex change and wanted to go into women's bathroom, but you don't go in. That's a violation of privacy. Just because you're gay, or you think you're gay, or you want to be gay, gives you no right to go into the girls' bathroom because you're gay, but you still have a penis and you still identify as a male. And Obama wants, and he's threatening. I got a clip of this. He threatened schools with pulling funding if they don't do this, if they do not let transgender people enter the bathroom of their choice. If he doesn't let a young boy go into your daughter's bathroom at school, he was going to pull funding. This is ridiculous. Obama is ridiculous. And this federal judge struck it down. because I think about 11 to 12, 13 states sued over this, and they were right to sue over this. It doesn't make sense for somebody to say, I'm gay, a young man to say, I'm gay, so I should be using the bathroom. That's ridiculous. This is what Obama wanted. He brought gay marriage here. Now he's trying to go into the schools and screw up the privacy rules in some of these schools. He can't do that. He shouldn't do that. If the shoe was on the other foot, would he want a young man to go in his man who thinks he's gay or says he's gay to go in his daughter's bathroom? Probably so. Who knows? But that should not be happening worldwide. That should not be happening in the States. Before I can see if the young man goes and have a sex change, you know, a vagina, and then maybe he can go into the young girl's bathroom, but he cannot go in the bathroom with the gender that he identifies with. Especially if that gender is, he has a penis, put it that way. Let me be blunt about it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Show, and we have a clip on that. I play it every now and then on the show. And so maybe if you listen to the clip, you can get a better understanding of what is going on or was on with this bathroom transgender thing. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Here it is right here. I think a
good piece. Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama, don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama, we got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes. He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boy's bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion by now removing the sign off the door that says girl and the sign off the door that says boy and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says do as you please? Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election and stayed loyal even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalty into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room. But because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis and because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda and a foreign agenda. Every president. Regardless of who goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever, they're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election. And I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? You're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why were the colonies independent, but Africans were emancipated? The word emancipation is a business concept that speaks to transfer of ownership. The 13th Amendment was a transfer, a business transaction between the owner and the government. The emancipation means that you no longer own them privately, but the whole country owns these Negroes publicly. Eight years ago, the white man said, we gotta find a way to push homosexuality, and we need to find a way to push the whole LGBT program in the black community to reduce their numbers and brainwash their children, but we have to do it in a way that they would accept. See, they have think tanks. The white man got think tanks. Think where they sit around and strategize, how do we push this on black folks? Because they said black people are largely not a homosexual people. Yeah, they've always had their gays in their family, but they know to stay in their damn place and keep that stuff out the view of the family. Am I wrong? Okay. We've had aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, but they know you don't come out with that. We understand. But that shit don't see the light of day in this house. Right? That was the code. We used to have a code.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
I want the person real Yes, right here, folks. Judge in Texas temporarily blocks Obama Obama's transgender rules. A federal judge in Texas has blocked a U.S. effort to allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms of their chosen gender identity. It means they, when it says chosen, you can choose to be gay, or you can choose to be a gay male or a gay woman, and you could go into the bathrooms of your choice, as I've been speaking about before, and the gentleman before me. So we are, I think we, a victory in that. Okay, judge in Texas temporarily blocks Obama's transgender rules. I'm looking at the, I believe the Huffington Post here. All right, Austin, Texas, a federal judge in Texas is blocking for now the Obama administration's directive to the U.S. public schools that transgender students must be allowed to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their chosen identity. Hundreds of school districts Monday woke up to the news of the order by the U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor on the first day of class in Texas and elsewhere. So this is a big blow for Obama. This is a big loss for him. Let me say temporarily lost for him. But still in all, this is a loss for Obama. And I'm pretty sure he's spinning it and trying to make it as if it's not that important. And we're just going to have to see where it goes from there. And let's see what it said. The decision dated Sunday comes after Texas and 12 other states challenged the Obama directive as unconstitutional during a hearing in Fort Worth last week. It applies to schools nationwide as many districts reopen this week after the summer vacation. You know, so this is good news. Because I would not want some young man or some kid who's decide that they wanted to be gay and go into my daughter's bathroom with a penis. I mean, this is just, I don't know where Obama's head was when he thought of this. And then he's going to try to threaten school districts with pulling funding away from those schools if they didn't apply to this mandate. This was a mandate. That means you do it or we're going to take money from you. And I'm surprised at Obama. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. This is Obama. What can I say? But I think this is a victory for all of those people out there who cherish privacy. Okay? Privacy. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are just getting back from a three-day hiatus. We're on the air Monday through Friday from 6 to 7:30, 6 to 8, whatever comes first, whatever comes to mind. And I'm so glad you're out there listening. And 347-857-1762. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot because we try to pour a lot into these shows. These are great shows, wonderful shows. It's just a, as I've said before in my earlier shows, I'm just a needle in the haystack. And I still think I'm a needle in the haystack, but I'm finding my way out of that haystack. Just one kernel at a time. You know, and this is the talk about times. Anything goes. When I put down on the board, anything goes, it means you can talk about anything you want, you know, or you can just listen to me, you know, and all that's good. All righty. We are in Chicago. It is summer is just about over, folks. And I can tell because the days are getting shorter. But however, the weather, I mean, it still feels like summer. It just, and it feels great. It's not 90 to 95 here. It's not triple digits. It's in the 70s and the 80s. And that's just perfect. That's just perfect. It's been a wonderful summer. As I've said at the beginning of the show, it's been a great summer. It's been a wonderful summer. And they're predicting that the winter is going to be cold. It's going to be a really cold winter. They don't have to predict that every winter is cold, especially in the city of Chicago. I'm near the lake. So that cold weather just come blowing off the lake, you know, on this in this direction. Okay, so that's something not to be looked forward to. And it's great. I'm in my studio and I have this great big window in front of me. People are passing me by in both directions. And, you know, some of them are waving and, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun to do the show. And like I said before, I want to try to expand it to not only 4 days, but to 5 days. I'm off Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the reason why I'm off on those days is because I'm too busy writing. I love to write. And I don't want to spend the entire show talking about politics. I want to, you know, I like to talk about and present a variety of issues on this show, even though it says the category is politics. It could be anything. It could be entertainment. But we have an election coming up. So, and we have to stay focused on that. So we're just going to have to see what that is about. All righty.
But I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way.
Please welcome Martin O'Malley from Maryland.
My fellow Americans, President of the United States is the toughest job in the world. And I come here before you as a man who knows Hillary Clinton well. I have worked alongside her, and I have competed against her. And I'm here to tell you that Hillary Clinton is as tough as they come. She will stand up to ISIS, she will stand up to the Russians, and with Tim Kaine at her side, she will never stop fighting for our children and our families, because Hillary Clinton knows when our families are strong, America is strong. Now, Donald Trump, he's a different story. He will not fight for us. He feeds off of economic fears and failures, stirs up false divisions and ancient hates, turns anger into a political weapon. But my friends, anger never fed a hungry child, did it? Anger never protected a family's home or sent a kid to college. Anger never built a great republic. I say, to hell with Trump's American nightmare. We believe in the American dream. We believe, as Hillary Clinton believes, that no American family who works hard should have to raise their children in poverty. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has actually said, quote, wages are too high. Wages are too high. Really, Donald? I'll tell you what's too high. College tuition is too high. I'll tell you what's too high. The cost of childcare, that's too high. The number of American children who live in poverty, that's too high. Donald Trump's opinion of himself, that's way too high. You see, actually, Donald, American wages, in fact, are too low. Our economy isn't money, it is people. It is all of our people. And Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine will fight to make sure that every family who's willing to work hard can actually get ahead again in America. on climate change, like you and me, and in fact, like our children and grandchildren, Hillary Clinton believes in science.
Find out.
She understands that climate change is not only a real threat, it's also the greatest job creation opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years. Now, Donald Trump, on the other hand, does not believe in science. He says, and again I quote, "The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese." I'll tell you what, if the Chinese were really capable of designing some kind of diabolical farce to hurt America, they wouldn't invent global warming. They'd invent Donald Trump. This much we know for sure. Donald Trump has been a bully his whole life. But here's what I learned in elementary school on the playgrounds. Bullies are really just cowards in disguise. The America we love does not engage in torture. The America we love does not build walls and shameful for-profit prisons. The America we love does not lock up women and children in disgraceful immigrant detention camps. Unlike that immigrant-bashing carnival barker Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton understands the enduring symbol of the United States of America is not the barbed wire fence, it is the Statue of Liberty. And so, my fellow Democrats, anger and fear had their moment last week, but now it is our time. Time to stand up for each other. Stand up for our shared promise. Stand up for the goodness and the hope in every American heart. It's time to put a bully racist in his place and a tough woman in hers. The White House, Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, forward together, stronger together, the country we carry in our hearts.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was great. That was Martin O'Malley singing the praises of Hillary Clinton and calling Donald Trump a racist and a bully and a carnival barker. Wow, that was something. That I could not have said it better myself. Anyway, back in Chicago, a Chicago Police Department violating due process of 7 cops firing. Yeah, I've been hearing this for several days now that they're going to fire these 7 to 8 cops, police officers, who were falsified their reports, their written reports on what went down, what really went down during the Laquan McDonald shooting. The teenager who was shot 16 times. You know, so something's not right. These guys are falsifying reports. They're watching each other's back, you know, and they're about to pay for it. And these firings, if they should happen, these firings of these 7 police officers will send a message. And you screw up, you make apartment rules, procedures, and quick on the trigger, you know, so things will, you will have to, you know, suffer the consequences of your job. And when you lose a job as a police officer, when you lose a job as a police officer, I mean, you really, that's going to really hit you in the pocketbook. Because police officers in the city of Chicago make pretty good money. You lose that job, I mean, there's no other job greater than that, you know. Especially if you want to talk about public service. Unless you want to run for alderman or something, or politician or something, but they police officers get a pretty good buck in the city of Chicago. I just wish they were patrolling a lot more and arresting some of these criminals a lot more. We got detectives out here. I just wish they could, you know, arrest some of these guys who commit all of this crap. And I applaud them for the gang busting, the busting up of a lot of these gangs, because they are the ones actually, I believe, and a lot of other people believe, that they are the ones who are causing all the mayhem, shootings and things like that, where innocent people are shot. Bangers shooting at each other, can't shoot straight. So shame when you can't go to the store, go to your park. You can't walk down the street getting mugged or robbed or shot. You know, I think the police officers should be a lot more. And I think there should be more police officers out on the street. We're still waiting for those 1,000 officers that Rahm Emanuel promised to hire during his first campaign on that. And will it happen? I don't know. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to happen, though. All right, the Fraternal Order of Police President Dean Angelo on Monday accused the Chicago Police Department of violating the process of 7 officers for allegedly covering up things in the Von McDonald case. In his long-awaited response, oh, he's trying to save them from being fired, okay? But they're being fired because they falsified their police reports on what actually happened at the scene. In his long-awaited response to a scathing report by Inspector General Joe Ferguson, Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson moved to fire 7 officers for allegedly violating Rule 14. What is Rule 14? Let's find out. That's the Rule 14, if you lie, die. The rule that prohibits police officers from filing false reports or lying under oath during the course of an investigation, as I was just saying. Quoting, they committed a Rule 14 violation based on what? What specifically did they do? What did they say? What did they write and put them in that court? What did they write that puts them in that category? I don't know. They said they don't know, Angelo said. So what did they write? What did they say? Basically what he's saying, Superintendent Eddie Johnson has no proof. He has no evidence. That these police officers lie. Okay, all right. I'm gonna put it this way. Police do lie on the reports. That's no lie. They falsify their incident reports. I've been in a situation where a police officer did that. Okay. And it happens for one another. That's no doubt about that. That's evident. Okay. He would have to probably show some proof of what, some proof before he actually tries to fire these 7 officers. There's going to be, this is a union town. And if you're working for the city, especially the police department, the fire department, schools, you just can't actually just fire somebody. I mean, you have to go through that. Even if these people are guilty, you have to go through due process, you know. So I would probably think that Eddie Johnson, the superintendent of Chicago, would be filing, coming up with some evidence and proof that these officers violated Rule 14. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Folks, it's been fun. It's been great. righty. We're still here. We got about 5 minutes into the show. Welcome to back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We little air. I was in a discussion right there. We're sorry about that. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 2 more minutes left into the show. 347-857. I hope you podcast the show. I hope you download the show. I hope you listen to it. They're all good. I mean, even if I'm not on the air, you can always podcast. Someone just whispered in my ear, 60 seconds, and we got 60 seconds left into the show. What can we say? What can we do? Okay, let's try to find something. Okay, we're going to talk about more police. We want the gangbangers to put the guns down. We want the gangbangers to stop shooting. We want the gangbangers to stop hating and lying and mugging, you know. Because that's what this show is about. This show is about making the world a better place. And I hope you guys join me tomorrow. Let's see what we got here. I hope you guys join me tomorrow. All right. We're going to say bye-bye. So long. Take care. Okay. Don't give up. up a lot better.